Hey everybody, how you doing? This episode recorded this morning. I haven't woken up to a tweet that angered me. So right now, I'm recording this intro, and I, with everything's going on now, it may be a coincidence. It may just be my not so great mattress / futon. But they say people hold stress in their lower back, and right now my lower back is it hurts a whole lot. There's pain. There's a lot of pain. I don't want to make it more than it is, but this shit hurts. So woke up to, I ain't gonna say an interesting Facebook post. An angering Facebook post. That's all I'll say about it, and you'll hear the rest. But give it a listen. Unfortunately, at the end, we got cut off, so wasn't able to fully finish it. But what we're talking about, fortunately, we could talk about it till we're blue in the face. So we'll probably get to it another day. And I think Mr. Roland might even mention it in the past story. Pretty sure he actually did. But either way, enjoy this pod. Stay safe out there. Try not to let things get to you, because they're gonna. Just try not to let it result in this back pain that I'm feeling. Be peaceful. Educate the ignorant. Some people are assholes, some people are evil, but some people, they just don't know any better. So always please keep that in mind. And enjoy this episode. I'm calling. Are you kidding me? Stay tuned.
So it starts. The saga begins, niggas. The saga begins, niggas. I'd like to welcome you to a collection of thoughts, observations, and concepts. They say that art imitates life. I just think life is art.
And welcome back to the Broke Blurred Pod. I'm your host, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice. And with me today is
Mr. Roland.
And
we have a special guest today. Special guest today is James, man. James, my man, Chavin. James.
James Chavin. Welcome, world. Welcome.
And not to downplay him, but his main specialty is he's black, y'all.
Absolutely.
Hey, we gotta throw that in there right now, boys.
Yeah, no, we do. We do.
I got a degree in blackology. Absolutely. In America.
So
you feeling it today, man. So tell us what your problem is, man.
Okay. Well, okay. First off, I'm going to say this. I try to look at everything as analytical as possible, as to not just be the black guy that blames everything on racist and this. Okay. I'll give you an example. And he may disagree with me. You may disagree with me. But this is my perspective on this particular thing. Now, what we're talking about is completely separate.
Go ahead, man. We're here.
So the NBA is basically want to start the season in Orlando because all their shit's open, regardless of coronavirus. Okay. So Craig, our boy Craig, who thank God survived and got through coronavirus. He was hospitalized, almost went through kidney failure. He's a pastor, and he got through it all. Well, he did a post, and his conclusion was, he was like, hold on, aren't black people the most at risk for coronavirus? And the white-owned NBA are sending all these brothers to Florida where they have coronavirus. And I had to be like, okay, hold on a second. This has nothing to do with race. Those motherfuckers want money. That's where they can get their money. That's one. Two, the reason black people are more at risk due to the coronavirus is because we are poor and less likely to have good health insurance or care because we're poor. None of these motherfuckers qualify for that. They're rich and in shape. They are not, them going to Florida is nothing more than rich owners wanting money. As well as, here's the thing, they don't want those motherfuckers to get sick. You think they want to just randomly have black people get sick so they can still pay more millions to other black people? No, that's not what this is.
Right, that's a different demographic.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't want to be one of those people that automatically just go, nah, it's because they're black. No, it's not. It's not what that is. Okay, so we fast forward after seeing way too much fucked up shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But last night I saw a video. It was and this is a video that this was on PBS back in, I'd say, it was filmed roughly around 76. It was a PBS special. I can't think of the specific name of it. I'll try to put a link in the description. But it was like something along the lines of In This Neighborhood or something. And in this PBS, now this was back in the 70s where you could push anything on TV. And it was just a clip, obviously. But in the clip started with a bunch of, it's a white neighborhood in Yonkers, New York. And you just see a car rolling through with the American flag hanging out the back, bunch of white people in the car, a bunch of white kids surrounding the car going down the street. And you start to hear, they're like, yeah, yeah, America. And then you start to hear them, they're screaming white power. Now, in their defense, I'm pretty sure a lot of the people screaming right there were dumbass kids, but still screaming white power. As they're going down the street, there's two young girls, black girls, maybe one is, I'd say, maybe 11 at the most. The other, roughly around the same age, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. And they start, they basically chase them out the neighborhood, calling, like, they're on their bikes, and you see them on their bikes, and they're literally in their face calling them nigger. Tell them to leave, nigger. And they eventually, you just see on their face, and this isn't, you know, a scripted show. This was what's being said to them in this neighborhood with the cameras rolling, okay? This is all part of the actual documentary. And they eventually then, they ask the girls how they feel about it and what happened, and there's other black kids there, and the one, you know, they say they were calling us niggers, and the one girl was like, they threw a rock at my sister and we didn't do nothing. Now the backstory, and then they talk to the parents and how and basically they show that they want the same thing everybody wants, is a better life for the family and just for their kids to have a better life. And the backstory to this family is, this family's from Trinidad. The Spencers, I believe, was the name of the family. And they made their way to a better life, to a nice neighborhood in Yonkers. And they had a pipe bomb thrown through their house, through the window. And had this been, and that's happened all before this part that I told you about. And had that happened, they said, ladies, you know, had they waited a few minutes more, they'd all be dead. But they bought a house, so it's not even like they said, like, oh, pipe bomb. Well, I guess we're going to move. No, that's not how the world works.
Yeah, you got to now stay there at least for a minimal time, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just and pick this, up and leave shit.
Right. And this was in, I'd say, 1976 was when it came out on PBS and it was filmed on TV. And everything that they're stating then applies to now.
Okay, boys, let me say this then. 1976 you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just bring it back to more the time where me and you can actually remember and was from. Let's say 1980s and early 1990s. Even racist shows back in the day. But didn't we just all just laugh about it?
Wasn't it funny shit?
But here's the thing. Some of the racist shows, the point of the racism was to point out the stupidity of it. Like, right. All in the Family.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
But look at, well, my point is just like, let's look at Archie Bunker, which was
That was all in the Family. But the purpose of Archie Bunker was to point out his stupidity as a racist.
Right. But we still laughed about it.
Here's the thing. Fucked up comedy in general is made up of fucked up shit.
Right. Actually,
that is what true. That's what makes comedy shit. Comedy. Finding the problem. The kernel of funny and fucked up shit, because if you try to digest the truth as a whole, you're more likely to cry or not take it in.
Right.
But the thing about this video that hit me wasn't as much of the fact that we're still going through the exact same things, because we are. I knew we are. There was no doubt we are. It's been 400 plus years of this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
What hit me was looking at those kids. Literally, those kids could have been my mother. Like, literally, that's my mom's generation. My mom was around that age when this video came out.
Right.
And it's just like, but it is what it is, whatever. But then I say, like, I wake up to the morning and I see that dumbass article, which now we'll get to. Where gentleman used to work with as a mover. I don't think that this is a bad person. I just think he's ignorant and not understanding of the reality of the world. And the article, I can't read the exact article because I don't want to back out of the pot. But the article was an opinion piece, I believe, in the Wall Street Journal. And it was titled, what he said at the top was, please read !!!!! Now, when I read the title at first, I was ready to be like, oh, you motherfucker, daddy. But like, no. I was like, before I say shit, let me at least skim through the damn article. Because at the beginning of the article, it's just false. The myth of systematic police racism.
How could you?
Right there, the title.
I don't even know how the fuck you could even get that far, though. Like,
oh, I wasn't,
dude. Are you
literally? I read the article and I was.
Are you dead or something already? Or is that?
I read the
read article. A book.
Right.
I read the article and I was about to be like, motherfucker! I was like, no, because I'm going to argue the point, and because he posted another thing the other day, and this was. And I jumped off before even watching the video because I saw Candace Owens at the front of the video.
As soon as I saw her ass. That rang a bell with Jay. Hold on.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're going to get to her.
That rang a bell. You should have seen his face.
I saw Candace Owens at the beginning of the video. And immediately I was like,
man.
Immediately I was like, oh no, you done started with Candace Owens. Nothing that's gonna be said. I give a damn about. But I was like, I said my arguments, and then another friend of mine, who again, I don't think he's a bad person, was like, but he didn't even read the article. And he was right. I listened to the article. I did it. So I went back and I actually watched, and here's the problem with what this was. They first start with Candace Owens at the front. Okay, so that way you see a black representative, and then the person
is that not an oxymoron? The black representative.
Yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Trust me, I know. I'm just saying this is the optics.
This is how I factor in my head why they made it.
Okay, the marketing of it all. So the video in front, you see Candace Owens, and I think she's before. The Supreme Court, some court, in front of some court, Congress, something, saying some bullshit, okay? And then there's a professor, air quotes, I don't know who the fuck this woman was, an older black lady with a slightly grayed out fro, talking.
Thanks for the picture.
Talking about, here's the problem, because at this point, they use the facts of history to build a straw man / false narrative, because what they're saying is, how black people believe the, and I don't remember the exact words, but the general gist of it, the false narrative of how the Democrats, basically it's saying the Democrats used to be the Republicans and the Republicans used to be the Democrats.
I can't stand that, though, boy. So,
and well, hold up, hold on. And the only reason, hold up, and the whole point of it is saying that the gist of it, the underlying fact, because I can't remember the specific words, so I don't want to say that's exactly what they said.
All right.
But the underlying fact of it was saying the only reason that the black people vote for Democrats is because they don't understand that they used to be the people who owned the slaves. Which, here's why it's a false narrative and everything, is history. Because, well, okay, fine, who gives a fuck? That doesn't make a difference to us. Right. We don't care if the white guy owning us had a R or a D,
yeah, it does.
Right, a fucking right. elephant, hey, or a fucking his
whip,
donkey.
His whip still hurt. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it does not make a difference. And at the same time, the people in office now, one, okay, none of them are fucking, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're not all bad, but a lot of them aren't good. One side panders and does it badly, and the other side just doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
So that alone, I'm like, you're like, what is your fucking point? No black, this is not why we decide things. This is not why, put it this way. If the Republican Party really wanted to, they could easily have black people's vote. They could easily. It's not hard to get our vote.
You know,
treat us with
respect.
They
do. You know
don't
they
fucking
do,
at the. No, they have
some.
18%.
Eighteen percent.
Woo! And that's a no. 18% from a poll. Yeah,
that's
a poll. And like Joe Rogan, says, I want to see the dumbass is stupid enough to take a poll.
And that's typically okay. In a different when you talk about socioeconomics, that 18%, even if you look at that dynamic, it's a totally different dynamic from most African Americans.
Yeah, from the average.
Absolutely.
Yeah. First off, one, there's somebody who answered their phone and decided, yes, I will take this poll.
Probably somebody from church. You're probably right. Who heard, mm-hmm. You know, who heard they passed the talk.
Yeah.
Who was getting paid on the tape.
Yeah.
I can chop that up all day.
As well as this was based off of the last election with Hillary Clinton, which here's the thing. There are some even white people who don't like Trump now and just took a chance on him because they didn't like Hillary. Right. So you take that 18%, I'm pretty sure you could probably whittle it down by a few more percent based on that X factor.
Right.
But that, you know, so there's that narrative with that article. And like I said, now we're going to get to Candace Owens.
Here you go. Okay. Hey, just so the people don't know, you know, people can't see us right now, but James just moved back in his chair. You know, perked himself up. His ass got tight. His ass just got tight, boys.
Because here's the problem. Now, here's the thing. Now, before I knew who Candace Owens was, I gave her fair shot because she was on the Joe Rogan show. And one thing I definitely want to give Joe Rogan, people constantly come down to Joe Rogan because he has people pretty much on all sides on his show. And if they come up with some stupid shit, he does push back. He'll let them talk their points and say what they say. And I listened to her. And on that show, I can't remember anything specific she said. She didn't say anything as dumb as the thing she recently said about George Floyd, but we'll get to that in a moment. But she talked intelligently, but the gist of the conversation was she used to be a Democrat. Believe it, even at one time she had if it wasn't Al Sharpton himself, some other black activist come to her rescue for some bullshit that happened to her. And basically the gist of it was she was not accepted in the black community initially. Like, she was clowned. She was basically the way I felt when I went down to Florida as a kid, and because I used proper English, There's like, oh, why you talk all white and other shit like that. I've just shit that dumb people say because they don't know any better and they're young and immature. It's the shit that some of us have to grow up with. I'm a fucking nerd. And if you're a nerd in the hood, there's two sides of it. One, people will get you respect because they're like, okay, you're smart enough to get the fuck out of here. And on the other side is, look at this cornball motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Who ain't cool for shit. Cool is a whole nother world in a black community versus living in it. Like, cool is a survival technique. So if you're not cool, you better be at least smart, kind of, in some way, shape, or form, so that when they see you, they go, nah, leave him alone. Because he helped me with my homework because I can't read, or some stupid shit like that. But anyway, so after that, she was a Democrat, and this is not even when I heard this was like maybe 5-6 years ago. So this was like maybe 15 years ago. Up to that point, she was a Democrat. And then in her 20s, in her adult life, she then jumped to the Republican side. And she didn't just jump to the Republican side. She hopscotched all the way across. Okay.
She straight up immersed herself.
And here's the thing. I don't even fault people who are Republicans, because here's the thing. At the base, what a Republican is supposed to be completely lines up with the, at least the religious fundamental belief of black
that's
people.
Why I said church. Church folks, absolutely.
So that's what the Republican Party is supposed to be. What it is not necessarily the problem with the Republican Party and all parties is people told, like, okay, so in this argument, in this podcast, she talks to Roy, and he's listened to her, and he's, you know, if she says something that's not quite there, he'll go back at her. But for the most part, he's letting her speak. He's letting her speak. He's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. And she's making good points for the most part, because she, like I said, she ain't saying be as stupid as the Floyd shit. Right. But then he gets to a point, because at this point, she's more going against the Democrats versus black people in this podcast that she was on. So this was more anti-Democrat than and pro-Republican than anti-black. So there wasn't as much of a reason for you to listen and go, oh, that's bullshit, because you're like, okay, well, Democrats ain't perfect, right, and they will lose shit in a moment for whatever fucking reason. And then he gets to climate change, and she toes that party line. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We've been talking for about an hour and a half. I know you're smart. You actually believe that climate change is a myth. And she hit all those Republican talking points. And you could tell right at that point, the respect he had was just, boom. It was just like, really? He's just like, really? Uh-huh. Really? So you're saying that none of this has anything to do with, and she gets kept in the same talk. So right then, that's when any type of I don't even know word and qualifications or anything for her completely poofed out of my head. And for the most part, that was the last time I thought of that bitch. Right. Okay. And I didn't think of her as a bitch then. I do now.
Yes. Fair.
So we fast forward to, I guess it's 5-10 years since this was like 4 or 5 years ago, because when I heard it, it's after I moved here and I was working with the moving company. Where the gentleman that I first talking about
posted. Who's this cat, though? You just worked with him?
I worked with him.
Side by side, or?
So yeah, yeah.
This idiot's side by side. Been feeling this way the whole time.
It's here's the problem. If you're not a black person or a Puerto Rican person or somebody who directly grew up with black people,
you know, I was just explaining that to James, how I grew up with black people and, you know, very little Hispanic people. So I feel like I'm in between, man.
Yeah.
I feel hurt.
But even so, where we grew up, black, Puerto Rican, Dominican,
it's all the same.
Like there was shit that each had with each other. But as far as society, the rest of the world and all the outside towns and police, we all had to deal with the same shit.
Right.
The cop wasn't going to see him and go, nah, that's a fair-skinned redneck Puerto Rican. he gets to walk.
No, you know I was going to jail along with you. You know, so that's all the way it was.
Yeah.
But that's what I was trying to explain to James before. We were just talking. It's funny you're discussing this. We were just talking about this because I asked him how he felt about the way things were going right now. And of course, you know, he has his own thoughts. I got mine. Yeah. You got yours.
And yeah.
It's just, this is nothing new.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new.
The cast system right there.
I mean, the difference is we have phones now where we can record shit and now it just goes up live. That's all the difference is.
Yeah. Oh. And I'm going to get to the record shit. I'm gonna get to something about that in a moment. But first, so with him and many people, the issue is, okay, I remember when I was maybe 11 or 12 or 10 possibly. And me and my cousin's mixed, but he's, you know, he's my cousin. So obviously he's black. In America, it don't matter if you're mixed. If you got a little bit of black, you're black. Right. That's the way it works. Anyway.
Except for Tiger Woods, man.
That nigga black.
1% black?
Hey, Tiger Woods, the white people want to grab him, man, because he's good in golf.
Well, no, hold on. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter why Tiger Woods, it doesn't matter what Tiger Woods claims because his other side isn't white.
Right,
so it doesn't matter.
But the white people want to recruit him.
Is that,
you know,
they can.
If they're a little upset
not,
with a black man on
black.
The damn field and fucking shit up, you know, and being that good.
But it's okay. I'd rather have Tiger Woods than Candace Owens. We can trade if they want. It's an unfair trade that doesn't make any sense, but they can have her. Anyway, we're like, maybe 10 years old, and we're in Louisiana, Colfax, Louisiana, where my family's from. And it's a small town, and town was now, I'm hoping things have changed. Most likely they didn't. But the way the town is set up is there's train tracks in the middle of the town. The nicer part of the town is where the white people live. The dirt road, crappier part of the town is where the black people. When I say there's a difference, I mean, think of the nice neighborhoods in Patterson. Like, Patterson was more across the board. People lived all over the place, but you know where the nicer parts are.
Right, but put it in more perspective so everyone can understand, because they didn't grow up.
Think of your average.
Right, we did, yeah.
Your average two-story, three-story house. Nice,
right,
big,
right,
white,
right,
clean.
Right.
Nice grass. On the other side, I don't even think there were any houses that went two stories. My grandmother had a pretty decent house. That was one fucking floor, okay? Every house, I can't visually remember any house in that neighborhood on that side of the tracks where my family lived being anything than one story and dirt roads and just nothing, just black people and poor. And you had the little, you know, occasional, you know, you had the white chicks that, you know, they had the black boyfriend that they might have been over there, but that's it. Okay. So me and my cousin are riding bikes, and we ride bikes across the tracks.
Oh boy, don't you go over there on that other side of the track.
No, don't jump ahead.
Don't you dare do that.
don't jump ahead.
I know that's coming. So we rode
across the tracks, and it was beautiful. The other side was beautiful. There was a river and shit over there, and we drove our bikes there, looked at it, and drove back, and eventually got back to my grandmother's. You know, where we're having the family reunion. And then we get back, and like my aunt and a few of the other parents or aunts and uncles, they were like, all worried, like, oh, where have you been? Da 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 da. And we're like, we just wrote. And here's the thing, I lived in Jersey my whole life. He was from Germany and then moved to New Jersey. So for us,
your cousin voice,
you know,
cousin?
We're pretty much city.
From Germany?
Yeah.
So, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So we're pretty much city boys for the most part.
Yankee,
like we're like, what
you
the fuck
Yankees
you mean? We
there.
Just we rode our bikes over to the nice area where we didn't want to ride around the same fucking four blocks that look exactly the same.
Right.
We wanted
to
explore.
But to you, wait, just,
we ran over.
To put it in perspective again, though. To you, it was just nicer. It didn't mean that was the white side to you, correct? Right.
Exactly. And even under the scope of the white side, it wasn't.
Point. Yeah, exactly, cause, boys.
But hold on.
There's way more to this, though.
And I didn't understand this until I got older. But even being the white side, it was like, well. Because here's the thing. By that time, at that age, even if there was any inkling that, yes, there was obviously racism. I also knew and understood the point of I still had the right to go anywhere I wanted to go. Whether racism exists or not, I still knew inside of me, whether, you know, not understanding because I was young, I still understood that I still had the right to be there. I was not any place that I did not have a legal or human right to be. So when my aunt was like, "What are you doing? Oh my God, you can't go. You know what those people will do to you?" And we're like, "What the fuck are you talking about? We just rode our bikes to the white neighborhood and looked at the river. What's your point?" Okay, so you fast forward, I don't know how many years, but eventually I looked it up. I'm from Colfax, Louisiana. If you Google Colfax, Louisiana on Wikipedia, what will come up is the Colfax Massacre. I don't have exact numbers, but basically the Colfax Massacre, a bunch of black people were killed by white people for whatever reason, to the point that there's a Wikipedia page called the Colfax Massacre. This is where my family comes from. My family directly either lost family members in that or were alive when it happened. So that is what my aunt, that's why my aunt was so worried, is because she more than likely, if she can't remember it directly, her mother does. And told her about it. And it's a very small town. The town is so small that you can't fucking fart without somebody going, "Yeah, that was Kareem. He done took a fart like down the street like 5 minutes ago. He tried to make it silent, but I smelt it. I know it was him because he was the only one standing there. And then John.
Where was your mom, though?
John said he smelt it.
Your mom
didn't
get you for that voice? Where was your mom?
No, my mom was there. I mean, I think she was worried.
Oh, I know your mom would have ripped your ass.
No. My mom was more like, she understood the fact of.
She doesn't understand that.
Yeah, exactly. But my aunt was just kind of like, "You don't know what these people would do. Oh, Jesus." You know, it was all mad. It was Kip's mom.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
Yeah. "You don't know. Oh, you don't know what these people would do." And, you know, but like I said, at the time I was like, "What are you talking about? I'm just riding a bike ride." But like I said, my family that I come from, literally, the biggest part of our history is the Colfax Massacre.
I gotta look that up, boys. Now you got me curious.
So, you know, that's right. You know, my family can directly, like my great grandmother. I don't know if she was old enough to be actually a slave, but I damn know she was old enough for Jim Crow. And if she wasn't old enough, her parents were, okay? That's not even at question. My generations don't go that far back before we hit slavery. So we grew up with this is our life. So when we grew up with this, we can't ignore the fact. I wish that I could be like, "Oh man, racism, whatever. Police racism, whatever." No, that's not how.
Right.
We don't have that.
Didn't
luxury.
I just say that? Like, so voice. I was just explaining to Abe how
they know I'm Mr. Roland. They know me as Mr. Roland.
Mr. Roland. I'm sorry. I was just explaining to Mr. Roland how, because slavery existed for so many years, there were things ingrained in our DNA to survive it. So. I used as an example the fact that, you know, where you have a husband and a wife on a plantation, slave master comes in, takes that wife, rapes her, impregnates her, and put her back in that population. I don't know what that did. I don't know what was ingrained in our DNA to survive those type of things, but I know what that did to the trust dynamic of an African-American man and woman who may be in a relationship. There's always, we always go in with a discrepancy or a, right.
One
right,
foot in, one foot out.
Discrepancy of trust.
Yeah.
We always have to, we have to prove ourselves to one another. And we always have to, we never fully can trust one another. And that, and I believe, it's my belief, you know, that from that, from those things historically that's taken place, there was things ingrained in us that we necessarily didn't necessarily see, but it was ingrained in our DNA for survival purposes. To, we can dismiss things, but we never fully trust because of stuff like that. What did that man do? What did that do for the trust of that man to that woman? What did that do to the trust of that woman to that man?
Yeah.
When those type of things happen, yeah. You know what I mean? And we never had this dialogue.
And then also, here's another thing. If you just look at it with, let's just take out the whole slave master aspect of it. And let's just break it down to its basics based on what we know today. If you simply take a situation where there's a man and a woman, and the woman is raped and she goes through that trauma, how she is able, not want, how she is able to actually respond and react to anybody, let alone the person that she loves.
They
can't just go back to
that's strong there.
That's strong.
So automatically, in that basic sense of a rape victim having to then go back to the husband, where they're not going to want to talk to them, they're not going to touch them, there's no therapy, there's no talk to somebody, there's no rape counseling hotline, there's none of the things that are here today that are sorely needed in these situations. None of that is there. And then on top of that, they then have to see, like I said, take the whole master aspect about it. They then have to see the rapist on a regular basis, and, you know, that alone. And then on top of that, one of the shows I'm pointing it out for two reasons. One, it fits the scenario we're talking about, but two, it's going to piss some people off. And I'm kidding. Law and Order Special Victims Unit. So first I want to say this. It's a show. It's a TV show, people. We don't need to cancel all TV shows that have cops in them, okay? It's scripted. Write the fucking script, okay? Write the script where the cop is an asshole and gets arrested for it. There you go. Problem solved. Okay. But the show itself, in the show, Officer Detective Olivia Benson, the thing about her character is she is a product of a rape. That is the character's main story arc, okay? Kids who are, and then, you know, I'm going off the TV show, but I'm pretty sure it's fairly accurate. But generally, kids that are products of rape, if the parent chooses to keep the child, they then have a reminder of their rapist. And as much as they may want and try to love that child unconditionally, if not all, there's a strong percentage of those people that will always have a minor resentment towards that child because there's trauma.
Yeah, and it's only natural. Right.
Yeah, it's not a want. It's
a
literal
thing for you to feel that way every now and then.
Right.
Not saying that you don't love
I
the
look
child.
At you and I'm brought back to when
even
I was raped.
Even looking at the child's face can alter that, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
And then once a child gets
you
older,
can deal with that with your baby mother, bro. You can deal with that with your baby mom. If she hates your ass to death,
exactly.
And then your child looks like you, she can then say, man, you just look like that fucking motherfucker.
Right. Yeah, you just remind me.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
like your dad.
So we don't even need to go as far as the rape thing goes. It's even that close where it can cause a problem.
Yeah, but let's say we'll stick to it has that full impact. So you factor in
I gotta get
rape, job being bored, dealing with that. And then you do that a few across the board and through a few generations. So that alone automatically is just trauma inflicted on a people. So then we go fast forward to I'm watching the show. If you have, I was actually going to recommend this to you, Mr. Roland. On Netflix, check out the name of the show is Black as Fuck, but okay. Black AF. Okay. It's written by and starring Kenya Barris, who's the writer of Blackish and Grownish and all those other shows. And it's kind of like Modern Family is, where it's supposed to be kind of like a documentary type show, but it's not really because it's a comedy and he rented it. And every episode, the theme, he's like, it starts off the first episode, he's like, because of slavery. And in the second episode, he's like, because of slavery too. Third episode, read between the lines, slavery. Like he sticks to the point. But throughout the show, they sprinkle like pieces of information about the Black experience and what we grew up with. And one of the more recent episodes I watched, the mom, who's played by Rashida Jones, who's the daughter of Quincy Jones, and no offense to her, I just don't know who she is, a white lady, so she's mixed. In this part of the story, she was a lawyer, and then she had six kids. And then at this part of the episode, she then decides that she's going to write a book. And she gets a publicist, And it's a really good show. But this particular part of the show, the publicist is like, okay, we're going to do a market. We're going to do an interview because I like to have my people prepared. And she's like, okay. She's like, okay, so my question is, why now? And the daughter, the oldest daughter, not the second oldest daughter, is basically filming all this as her project to get into NYU. So, and she goes to the camera, she goes, yeah, my mom went full dad. You never go full dad. And what she means by that is throughout the episode, her dad is always like,
yeah, I get it.
Because
of
racism.
I got it just from what you said.
But... you know? Yeah. So she goes, why now? And then the mom pop, why now? Why now? Da-da-da. It just goes off. And the point that she makes is that as Black women, they were never allowed to be citizens. They were allowed, they had to be this, that, and the other, and always this, that, and the other. And they made the specific point that struck me was back in the time of civil rights, they had to make a choice between the civil rights and the women. The women's suffrage movement, the women's rights movement. But during that time, they had to watch their brothers, their sons, their fathers being brutalized by police, sprayed down with fire hydrants and fire hoses. So they had to choose, they chose the Black side. So not being able to be X, Y, and Z, she was like, now is the only time that I can do it. But it's just, to further point that these are just what we bring up, maybe three or four things that as Black people are ingrained into our history and DNA.
I mean,
and we didn't even get to the cop part.
Yeah. let me just say this. Where do I fit in?
Well, the Taino Indians were raped by the white Spaniards.
Here's my issue, okay? Yeah.
Mexican?
See what I mean? This is why I have a fucking
Mexican who's or even if you're Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
why don't you go back
that.
To your country?
I've heard that already.
You mean
that's one thing. I just laugh at that.
It's
that I'm technically part of. Whether I'm here on this island or the other one, it doesn't really fucking matter. You know, I know that we all grew up with certain different little things and shit. And I was just telling James this. I fit into that world where it's in between, okay? And I think that that's the worst world of it all. is because I can go to a store, let's say, this really happened. Went to a store, okay? And, boys, you know I'm not the lightest motherfucker, and neither am I the darkest motherfucker, right?
What is it? You're not the lightest? Okay, here's the thing. You're not the lightest motherfucker, but if somebody looks at you, they're going to be like...
Yeah, that... See, okay, that little confusion, though, is what fucks me up. So I wish that I was either darker or I was lighter, okay? So that I don't fit in that between mark. Because what bothers me with the between mark is this is a true story. I went over to a gas station. A black male pulls up, right? Got rims and shit on his car, okay? And the reason why I'm saying this is because I want to explain how being in between kind of sucks even more. Because I got to deal with both. Because I got to hear the racism between both parties.
Oh, this is a good one.
You understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, but I'm telling the people, though, boys. They don't know. Right? So, I go to the gas station. Dude has rims on his shit. And the man says to me, a white man comes up to me and he goes, oh, you know how he got those. Right? So, I just look at him. And then I look at the black man that came in because I thought nothing of it. You know, so I look at the black man that came in.
Yeah.
So then he.
You're like,
yeah,
what,
no, no, wait. Place, he's got the same fucking warning vest that I wear on. He's got a box cutter on his fucking hip. Mm-hmm. He's got a hard hat on.
How you doing, everybody? I just want to thank you for listening to the Broke Blurred Pod. If you want to support the show, got an easy way you can do it. If you like video games, some of you know I'm a streamer on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/savagevoice. Well, what you can do, go to the Epic Games store online. Just put in Epic Games in Google. And whenever you check out, whatever game you're checking out, if you want to buy the new Animal Crossing, what have you, put in code SAVAGEVOICE. Costs you nothing extra and, you know, helps out the show. Also, if you play Fortnite when buying or purchasing your skins, same thing. Put in code, create a code SAVAGEVOICE, and you can help your boy out. Now back to the show.
All right, folks, due to technical difficulties, we lost contact with Abe and James, Mr. Roland and James, so we're going to end it here. I'll give you the ending of the start for the most part anyway. The guy sees that guy who walked in had rims and automatically assumed that because Abe was fair-skinned that he was white, and that's something that he has to deal with. I mean, again, there's so many stories we could tell, so many angles we could go from. Just be good to each other, people. Unfortunately, systematic racism exists. Systematic racism with the police exists. We don't want them to, but they do. All right? If you don't understand that, be happy, because that means that you don't live it. And if you don't live it, you're one of the lucky ones. But don't be blind to it. It exists. It's in front of your face. And for you to ignore it or make believe that it doesn't exist makes you a part of it. Gentleman that I referred to, I don't believe he is a bad person. I don't even believe that he may have some racist views. He may have some ignorant views. But I don't think he inherently is a bad person or inherently hates black people. But he doesn't understand. So try to understand what's going on. Try to understand where we're coming from. Try to understand what is going on in the world. Try to understand why we are upset. Try to understand what we have lived through, died through for 400 plus years. We don't bring these things up because they're happy memories and we want to put them in your face. We bring these things up because we have to live them. We can't turn away from them. We wake up in the morning, we're black. We go to bed, we're black. We walk out in the streets, we're black. We don't get the choice to not be black. We don't get the choice to decide how you look at us. You look at us however you were raised to look at us. That is what the systematic racism means. Doesn't mean that the person is automatically bad. It means that the society that we live in and grew up in, we have been systematic. The system of the world, or just America, the system of America, we have always been second-class citizens. We generally have been seen as a threat. We're not given the benefit of the doubt. And we've had to work twice as hard to get what some people, not that it's anything against them, but some people naturally get without, excuse me, any type of trying. So just, again, there's so many things we could say, so much more I could say. And maybe the next podcast we will, maybe we won't. I'd rather if the world was a better place and all this shit was over with and I wouldn't have to, but that's not what's going to happen. So I'm going to end here. I thank you for your time. Thank you for letting me get these things off my chest. I want to thank James for being a guest, even though he's not here right now, as well as I want to thank Mr. Roland for having James join the show and also listening to both of us, because he doesn't go through the full things we go through, but he's right there beside us, and he has a different struggle to go with that may not be as bad, but Puerto Ricans, Taino Indians, Spaniards, Africans, that's what makes up a Puerto Rican. So this struggle is just as much his as it is everybody else's. Just because he looks differently doesn't mean that he's not dealing with, if not all the same shit, a lot of the same shit, just from a different island. So for the Broke Blurred Pod, I've been your host, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice, a.k.a. Antonio El Salvaje. Be good, everybody, and we'll catch you next time. Later.